Welcome back to Wherever You Are. I'm Ryan McNeil in Toronto, Canada. You're listening to episode 2 of Wicked Little Town, my audio dispatches from the Toronto International Film Festival happening right now in my hometown of Toronto, Canada. I feel like I want to apologize off the top because usually I've got a few episodes in by now. It's Thursday and I've got one episode up. I feel like I'm deeply failing on this. And I'm actually kind of amused because my guest has a case of the giggles. My guest is Anna the Movie Net. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And welcome to Toronto and to TIFF.
I think I might be moving here once I get money.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yes.
You see why I call it like movie going nirvana?
Yes. There's nothing like this where I'm from. It's annoying.
It's, well, we'd be happy to have you, I'm sure. So even though it is Thursday, we're going to roll back to Sunday because there was a movie that we both saw then that was really, really interesting that I wanted to talk about. We saw The Dallas Buyers Club.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the new film. It's directed by Jean-Marc Vallée. It stars Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto. And it's about, it's kind of about the AIDS crisis in the 80s, but specifically about one man who decided to fight back.
And give the disease the finger.
Yeah, that's very well put. To give the disease the finger by legal means or not. And I don't know about you, because I don't think we've really talked about it since we watched it.
Not really. No. You kind of dashed off afterwards.
That's the unfortunate thing about TIFF, is that there are people who I've seen just endlessly all week. There are people who I can't get away from. And then there are people who I've barely seen, including my wife.
That doesn't sound trusting.
I don't think I've caught up with you since Sunday, except for even you, 2 minutes at the bar. On Monday. But how did you like it?
I really enjoyed it. And personally, I promise not to use the O word during the whole time because some people are just annoyed at it being brought up. But I would not be too surprised if Mr. McConaughey and Mr. Leto get nominated for Oscars.
Ah, okay. Okay, I was like, there's an O word? Well done. That is kind of the tricky thing about this week is, like, everything just seems so good.
Yeah, I know. Especially after, like, 12 Years a Slave premiered and everyone's just, like, going, oh, my God, this is going to get everything Oscar-wise. And everyone's just going, oh, shut up.
Yeah, that's it. McConaughey, since you brought him up first, he's on a roll.
Oh, yes.
I can't believe, like, it was only a few years ago that he was doing things like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Sahara.
Fool's Gold.
Fool's Gold. I forgot about Fool's Gold. But lately, I don't know if maybe just he's got enough money or he switched agents or something, but this is another one.
I hope it's the switching agents thing because, I don't know, it seems like he was getting money off of those crap movies anyway.
Probably, yeah, he got paid. Didn't matter whether they made money, he got paid.
I'll just be taking his shirt off.
Yeah, well, you know.
Thankfully, with Magic Mike, he took off his shirt and there was a reason for it.
Yes. And this is another one of those roles. So in a small way, he's kind of playing himself because he's playing a Dallas cowboy, right? Like, he's playing a beer-drinking, woman-loving, you know, drug-using.
I don't think he's that much of a drug user, though.
He's got we don't see it much, but, like, it's in there. Oh, him personally.
Yeah.
Maybe not the hard stuff, but, I'd be kind of surprised. But, off the top of the film, he gets diagnosed HIV. This is in 1985 where HIV not only freaks the shit out of everybody,
and this is, like, in the aftermath of Rock Hudson getting diagnosed as well. And everyone's like, oh, what?
Right. And that's the thing. So first of all, like, at the time, it's the gay plague, which just offends him to no end. And at the time, it's more or less a death sentence. Like, they give him 30 days.
Yep. He managed to live to 7 years.
Yeah. And so while he's playing kind of like, you know, a normal Texas dude, he comes into this movie just skinny as a stick, very, very gaunt. His face is like machinist type hollowed out. And he runs with it. He is amazing in this movie. He's funny. He's really, really funny in this movie.
He hits all the right notes as well.
Yeah.
As does Leto.
Yeah, and then, well, tell people about Leto in this movie, because I feel like I've been talking a lot. What he does and what you likes about him.
Well, basically, I hate describing stuff to people I don't know. basically, Leto is playing a... what's the proper term?
I think we're going with transvestite.
Yeah. Basically, he's playing a transvestite who, as we find out later on, also has AIDS. And he kind of helps out McConaughey's character with the Buyer's Club, as it's called.
To distribute the AIDS medications. And he's pretty damn good in this as well, because
I think it's his best work since Brick Room for a Dream, to be honest. Yeah? Yeah.
You weren't a fan of Panic Room?
What?
You weren't a fan of Panic Room?
Not really. Well, I haven't seen it yet. I'll admit it.
No. You're not. I'm being totally facetious. You're really not missing much. If you go and watch that on my say so, I completely disavow all of this. But so the film now Leto is he's awesome in it just because it's a hard role, right? You get a role like that and you run the risk of turning it into just a caricature of a gay person.
And it's interesting because it's just like every aspect about his performance as well as McConaughey's. It just sounds like every bad idea for a character just meshed into one.
Yeah.
And yet they make it work.
On paper, it sounds very melodramatic.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, no, they totally give it a lot of texture. As I said, a lot of humor, a lot of humanity on each end.
Yep.
Had you seen Vallée's two most famous films, Crazy or Café de Flore?
No.
Okay. Because that was one of the things that attracted me. They're both Canadian, which is probably why you haven't heard of them. You know, our stuff doesn't really... I know, it's... Our stuff
doesn't... Hey, I've seen it at... I don't need going on.
Oh, okay, there we go. All right, yes, okay, we're good. But...
And a number of Cronenberg movies.
I feel like I should send you home with a care package, because they'll blow your mind. But they were more personal stories that he wrote. Like, they were scripted, like, he wrote and directed.
Mm.
So Dallas Buyers Club was one where he's basically been given the story and he's doing the work. So if somebody was coming into it, like, for me, if somebody's coming into it as a Jean-Marc Vallée movie, they might be a little disappointed because it's not really a match set with those films.
Hmm.
But I still think that he did a great job directing it. Like, the movie's got a great rhythm to it. As I said already, a great humor. And it could have just fallen into being a regular old biopic.
Hmm.
But I sort of feel like it did a lot better than that.
Yeah. It's basically they took out, like, everything you expect in a biopic and just chuck it out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. But, no, I had a great time. Now, I didn't stick around for the Q&A. I had to run to another screening. Was there anything interesting discussed after the
film? Yeah, he kind of mentioned, like, with the music involved, he wanted to make sure there was absolutely no country music whatsoever.
But there's Kenny Rogers on the soundtrack.
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Oh, no, I heard that, because I grew up with that song. Like, my parents played that endlessly.
Well, so he didn't want to put a lot of country music.
Okay.
Oh, I'm trying to remember. I saw it on Tumblr. Somebody brought it up. I'll probably forward you the link later on.
I'll embed it into the notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that's the thing, and you'll see when you watch Crazy and Café de Flore especially, music plays a gigantic part in his films.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like he also directed The Young Victoria, that film with.
I've heard of that one.
It's not good.
Yeah.
But because, like, there was no way to put, like, modern music into that without turning it into, like, Marie Antoinette, that was really why it didn't feel like...
Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, that was really why it didn't feel like one of his movies. So this, even though it's not a straight-up Jean-Marc Vallée movie, it still has those flourishes, for sure. And we're going to talk about it for a minute. We just came out of a movie that I hope catches on at some point or another. I really, really hope it gets distribution or shows up on Netflix or something. We just came out of an Irish film called The Stag, which...
is really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Our audience was just roaring. And it's basically... It's a stag party that happens for a very metrosexual man. So, and the stag party that happens is basically just a hike out into the country. I really dug the hell out of that movie.
Yep. And special note, Sherlock fans, Andrew Scott's in it.
And he's awesome in it, right?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
It's really interesting, because this is just like a complete 180 from his role on Sherlock.
Yes.
You've seen the show, right?
I have, all of it. And I'm very deeply anticipating season 3 whenever it shows up. I think it's like December or so.
I wanted to come out sometime this year, and soon.
Yeah, yeah. And he's awesome. There's a lot of... faces that I recognize, but I can't put names to them. I know Brendan Gleeson's son is one of them, because lordy does he look like his dad.
Yep. Are you sure that was his son?
Oh, I'm pretty sure. He's right around the same age. Around the right age, I should say.
Yeah. The name Hugh O'Connor sounded familiar. I'm not sure from where.
Yeah, me neither. But it's a really funny movie. It kind of feels like, you know, if somebody wanted to sit down and come up with an intelligent and heartfelt version of The Hangover, this is what they'd have.
Yeah, they just take it out of Vegas, put it in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, but give it a lot more authenticity, give it a lot more humanity.
And less alcohol.
About the same amount of drugs. A lot more nudity.
Oh,
And not female nudity. No,
they don't show anything too bad.
No, there's a lot of butts, but you know, male nudity is never not funny. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
See, right, okay. So yeah, we came out of the Stag. We both really, really recommend it. So if you have the chance to track it down, do so. But I wanted to ask you, because this is your first trip to Toronto?
My first trip out of the States,
in fact.
First
trip out of the States. You had to go get a passport for this, didn't you?
I've had a passport for you. It expires in January.
Okay, I'm being presumptuous. First trip to Toronto, your first full-on film festival.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Very well. I have 7 more movies to see before I go back on Sunday.
It's third. You have 7. Are you seeing anything else tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, so you got 1 tonight and then 6 more in 2 days.
Yep. Awesome. I'm going to hate this later on, but I don't care.
It was kind of funny because I remember back in the spring, I think, I reached out to you and I said, you're within a reasonable distance of this place. Why don't you come up? And was this kind of, like, was this what you were expecting you were getting into? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it about normal?
It's basically just like a smaller version of New York City.
Sorry, not the town, although that's nice.
Oh.
No, like the actual, like, going around to the various venues and seeing what you're seeing and meeting who you're meeting.
I like it.
Okay. But was this what you had in mind, or?
Yeah, this is pretty much what I thought it would be.
That's cool. What's been the best part of your trip so far?
I got to meet Tom Hiddleston the first night.
Yes, that's true. Tell people about that. People who don't follow your Tumblr.
Or on Twitter.
Twitter, yes.
Oh, boy. Okay, basically, I just come out of a screening for The Big Chill. Great movie, by the way. Be sure to see that.
I haven't seen it. I'm serious. I haven't seen it.
You suck. Anyway. Basically, I had to rush out, get a taxi. It's just like, I'm just hoping in the back of my mind, please let me see somebody before I go in to see the movie. Anyway, this is just, I get to Ryerson Theater. sorry.
You're still flustered. It's been a week and it's still like giving you a...
I met somebody famous that I'm slightly obsessed with. Deal with it.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Anyway, this is just like a few minutes after I get up there. Basically, the first black mysterious car rolls up, and I'm wondering, okay, who's it gonna be? I'm hoping it'd be him, and he does come out, and basically the people that are already up at the front just go nuts, flash it everywhere.
It's kind of cool to see that.
Yeah, and just as he's about to go up to the red carpet, I managed to get his attention. He gave me his autograph. He smiled at me. Sorry. If you've seen that man smile, you'll understand why I'm slightly flustered.
I'm slightly flustered. I wasn't even there.
I've made a fair number of people jealous just off of that.
I bet.
Anyway.
That would totally be a highlight.
Yeah.
Like you could have gone home after night one.
I know. I could have died happy right there, too. Anyway. It was funny, too, because just like he walks up the red carpet, everyone else that's up there just goes nuts.
Yeah.
It's basically just Tumblr in real life. I'm not even kidding. It's true, though.
I believe you. I totally believe. It was kind of the thing I was happy about because, again, in like the weeks and days leading up to this, you got in touch with me and you're like, is there any spot where somebody could get like pictures and autographs on red carpets? And I hadn't even thought of that because I haven't done that in a long, long time.
Well, I wasn't going to be going to that many premieres, so there's that.
Well, but even if you're not, like, you don't have to have a ticket. I probably should have told you that before. you don't need to have a ticket to the event to just hang out at the red carpet and try and get, like, pictures or autographs.
Yeah, I did that a few days later.
Okay. So when that was the thing, when you reached out to me and you said, hey, can I do this? I was like, well, yeah, you totally can. And then in the back of my brain, I'm like, good luck. So when you came back with that on day one, I was like, well done.
I was trying also to get the other people that showed up at that premiere, Anton Yelchin, Mia Wachowski,
Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah. I tried to get his attention. He gave me the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
I got to see them. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, and they would have paled in comparison. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You seriously could have gone home happy at that moment.
Yep.
Have you had a favorite film in the festival so far?
At the moment, it's kind of a toss-up between Only Lovers Left Alive.
Which is the movie with Hiddleston in it. He plays a vampire rock star with
Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Swinton.
She wasn't there, though.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah.
What else?
Kill Your Darling, which I saw yesterday, on my birthday, no less.
Well done.
Very good. And definitely, for those Harry Potter fans listening, this is a far cry from Mr. Radcliffe.
It's he's had three films at the festival, and it sort of feels like all of them are really, really departures from that character. And it's
well, he's played the role for 10 years.
Exactly, and it's kind of that thing of, you know, is this guy going to have a career after this one character is done? But I think this festival would have to say absolutely. If there was any question of the stuff he was doing since then, stuff like, you know, the Woman in Black or his Broadway stuff, he's really picked some really, really interesting parts.
Yeah.
And you know, you've met some people while you were here, but he's been treating you well.
Yep.
That's good.
There's also one more film that I saw.
Sure.
August Osage County.
How is that? Because I've heard mixed things.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
Basically, if you're familiar with Tracy Letts' work, then you'll you'll appreciate it. Or, for that matter, if you've read or seen Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, it's basically like that, but with more people and less alcohol.
And that's got a cast that, like, goes and goes, doesn't
it? Yeah.
I know that Benedict Cumberbatch is in that, and he's, like, the 10th person down the credits.
He's not really in it that much, but he is pretty good. But in all honesty, that movie is just dominated by Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts.
Interesting. I couldn't squeeze it in, so I'm probably going to have to catch it once all this mayhem is over.
Well, it's going to get released in December.
Exactly. Well, now, that's a good question. So when you were putting your schedule together, there's stuff that's getting released. There's stuff that's getting released, like, in 2 weeks. And there's stuff that may not get released at all. Did you kind of put any onus on the stuff that was coming out versus the stuff that maybe wasn't? Or did it just not matter?
I kind of did a mix of them.
Okay.
Basically, for the stuff that was going to get released within the rest of the year, like, you know, 12 Years a Slave, August Osage County.
Gravity's in a few weeks.
I haven't seen that one, so there's that.
You picked those, right? Okay.
Yeah, Rush. That one was, like, a last-minute decision. A stupid one, but I mean,
Don't listen to the next matinee cast. That's what we're going to be talking about.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I did like it. It's just, it was a scheduling misreading that I kind of got annoyed at.
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Gotcha.
And there's, like, a mix of a couple films that I'm not sure when they're going to get released, but I thoroughly enjoyed them. The Invisible Woman, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Very reminiscent of Bright Star, I might add.
Cool.
What else? Again, Only Lovers Left Alive. I'm not sure if that's getting...
Probably get picked up, but I think that's probably going to be one that we see, like, next spring.
I saw that it was going to get released in New York, like, October
I hope so, because I'm actually really regretting that I didn't get to see it.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. As I said, when I saw the picture, I'm like, I am going to miss having seen this, and the second I see it, it's going to be in there.
Yeah, I also might add that, well, if you've read my review, you will understand when I say this movie makes vampires absolutely cool again.
Awesome. Well, I am, like, pleased as punch that you've enjoyed your time here, that this has gone well. I never know what to expect from people doing their first time. There's sometimes, you know, they've got their ambition exceeds their grasp, but you seem to have just... You're an old pro already at this. It's been really, really awesome to see this. And I hope that, you know, that this is just the start, that I start catching up with you every September when you do this.
I need money, though.
Well, you know, just put $20 in a jar every few weeks. And
well, I do have a bank account.
There we go.
Really
done.
Much.
Sold. So before we wrap up, tell people where they can find your... Tell them both your site and your Tumblr, because my God, you tumble a lot.
I'm a 20-year-old woman.
There we go.
With no social life. I'm on the internet a lot,
Got it. So where can people find your writing?
So my Tumblr is Tumblr/movingup14.
There we go.
And my blog is movingup14.blogspot.com.
And if anybody wants to follow you on Twitter, where do they find you?
I just said that.
No, it was Tumblr. Where's Twitter?
Oh, I just said Twitter, but Tumblr is movingup14.tumblr.com.
There we go. I, of course, am Ryan McNeil, and I should have two more of these if luck goes my way before the weekend is out. You can find all of my TIFF coverage on thematinee.ca. It's all over the main page. You cannot miss it. There's reviews there for Gravity, 12 Years a Slave, smaller stuff that you might not have heard of, and I've been having a great time, and there will be more in stock. You can find the Matinee Cast on iTunes and all the usual places. You can find me on Twitter, where I'm matinee_ca, and Facebook, where all of my photos that I'm taking this week are going up, facebook.com/darkmatinee. Any final thoughts? You've done pretty well for... Is this like your... This is your first, certainly your first time on my show.
Yep, I know. Final thoughts. Basically, this festival is insane, and I might come back here again.
Nice. Brandon, I'm Ryan. We'll see you at the matinee and at TIFF. It's a wicked